And we welcome you to another edition of Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Networks. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I'm Bob Papa. So glad you can join us over the next hour. The top 10 things you need to know about the Giants and Redskins. I've got my Hall of Famer and Master Chef, Harry Carson, two-time Super Bowl champion, Carl Banks. And on the offensive side of the ball, we have a Super Bowl champion in Howard Cross. All three of these men have played on Thanksgiving Day. More on that in a little bit. But to get things started, let's take a look at the menu for today's show. We got a heaping help of Giants First and 10 for you. Head coach Ben McAdoo will join us in studio. We will go to the coach's tape, strategy with Carl Banks. Fourth and goal. We'll take a look back at one of the great moments from the 2007 season in which the Giants won Super Bowl 42. Center Brett Jones will join us in studio, and we'll talk about the Giants giving thanks. But to get things started, item number one goes up on the board. We call this no huddle, 25 seconds on the clock. And we start, of course, with our Hall of Famer and Master Chef, Harry Carson. Harry, don't change the formula slash recipe. Yeah,
don't change the formula. Whatever was said last week, whatever was done last week, do it again this week, because this team last week played much better than they played the week before. And they're going to need to continue to play. I called them out last week. I said, we've seen the best of this team so far this season. I think they have a little bit more left in the tank. So I hope that they can continue to play well and surprise me and prove me wrong.
All right. Well, they're going to get an opportunity on a short week. One in a row, says Mr. Banks.
Yeah, it's the old saying that our coach used to tell us when we did it right. He'd stand in the middle of drills, and once you get it, he'd say, okay, that's one in a row. Let's see if you can build on that. And I think the feeling that this team has after a victory, no one gave them a shot, even when they were healthy, of beating the Kansas City Chiefs. So they know they can do it. And that's one in a row. Let's see if you can build to two in a row and see how far you can go, because there's not many teams that they can't beat if they play like that.
Not Carl Banks running over.
I know, he did. A little bit.
It's okay, I'm entitled.
Well, it's Thanksgiving, right? Everybody gets seconds.
Yeah.
Howard, 25 seconds or so on the clock for you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Man, happy Thanksgiving. You know, it's really exciting for guys to play on Thanksgiving. You sit home, you watch those games as players, as families. It's very much the thing to do. It's a great holiday, you know, kind of moment. But for a football team like the Giants, that are all beat up and everything's kind of going in disarray, it'll be a happy Thanksgiving if they can find a way to just do the basics and get a win.
Comes in under time, which segues us into item number two that we put on the board, which is rinse and repeat. Kind of sort of the theme that you guys are talking about, but how do they now go on a short week down to Washington and give the same kind of performance?
Well, quite frankly, they really don't have a choice. I mean, they are together as a group. They are coming off of a win that they've enjoyed. They've got that taste of winning now in their gut again. They have to go down to Washington as a group. Their Thanksgiving Day, and you're bonding together. And I think you have to make this pact with one another that you're just going to go out and give your all for your teammate.
Carl, what do they have to do to win this game and keep that consistency?
Repeat. That's what they have to do. Both teams are coming off of games on Sunday, so there's no advantage there in times of time rested. They just have to capture the feeling and go in and like Harry said, bond and keep it going.
What are some of the things that you want to see out of this team this week?
I think they need to make it a long game. I think it need to be kind of muddy and dirty. A lot of running, a lot of like just grinding it out. If they can do that, because, you know, Washington has a chance to score some points. But if you can kind of make it muddy and make it dirty and have the defense kind of make these guys go 15 play drives and stuff, to if they're going to score at all, I think they'll have a chance. But if they go in there and do some of the crazy plays they did, then surprise them, it could work too, but muddy game.
So let me ask you this. They haven't always dealt great with prosperity. Mm-hmm. How do they keep from reading their press clippings?
Well, you can't fall back into what happened against San Francisco. That was their last road game. Here's another opportunity to redeem themselves. Yeah, they might be out of the playoffs, but as a group, they really need to come together. And as I said earlier, I don't really mean to sound redundant, but just go out and play one play at a time, each guy giving the best that he has within himself and relying on that guy next to you to continue to help pull that wagon.
I think the press clippings basically said they can't believe that it happened. So why, what are you going to be believing when you read those?
There's no, like, prosperity. I think they love the taste of prosperity right now compared to what they've had to digest the early part of the season. So I don't think this is going to be an issue of them feeling so great about themselves winning one game.
All right, well, let's take a look at Giants programming for you. And Giants First and 10 programming and all programming across the platforms. Giants First and 10 with four airings this week. There are two on Wednesday and then two on Thanksgiving, getting you set for the Giants and Washington. After the game, make sure you join us for Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. We'll recap everything that is the Giants and Redskins on Thanksgiving night. Saturday night, My 9, 11 p.m., Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota. And then on Sunday at 10 a.m. on MSG, it's Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian, looking back at some of the great moments from the 2007 season. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back here on the program, the head coach of the Giants, Ben McAdoo, joins us here on Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop. Welcome back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop. Thanksgiving night, it's the Giants and the Washington Redskins. Time to put item number three up on the board. As always, we're joined by the head coach of the New York Giants, Ben McAdoo. And, Coach, obviously a tough week for you guys in the fact that limited time for preparation. How did you handle it this week getting ready for the Thursday game?
Yeah, it's a fast turnaround, but on Monday we came in, we dusted off the KC film, made sure we got that corrected, and moved on quickly to Washington. A lot of mental work this week, not a lot of speed work, and the players responded well, and we're excited to go out there and play the game.
Coach, you look at the Redskins, they're a division rival, but they've got players on both sides of the ball that can really cause problems. They normally are guys of concern, like a Ryan Kerrigan. What do you guys have to do from an offensive line standpoint?
Yeah, we have to change things up. You just can't let them tee off on the tackles all day, whether you give the tackles a little bit of help, change up the cadence, and we have some other things we can do. I'm not going to, you know, give up all our tricks, but we have some things to do to try to slow him down. He is a tremendous player. They have about four different guys on the edge that can rush the passer, so we need to know where they are at all times, and we have a good plan in place for it.
Their quarterback, Kirk Cousins, I call him a good location anticipation thrower, because he's been under pressure and he throws balls out there, and it just seems like he's throwing it nowhere, but the receiver's right there coming out of a break. His anticipation throws, is that something that the defensive backs have got to be plastered onto their guys so that they don't get lost?
Yeah, absolutely. Kirk has great rhythm and timing in his body and in his feet, and that's where it starts. So he throws the ball before the receivers are open. We call it throwing them open. His anticipation is excellent. He knows where the windows are going to be. So our receivers, they have to understand that when they come out of the break, the receiver comes out of the break, and they come out of the break in transition, that the ball is going to be in the air. They're not going to have much recovery time.
Coach, they've used a lot of different running backs. P. Ryan had over 100 yards last week in the loss against New Orleans. Talk about their running game and sort of the way they'll try to attack your defense.
Yeah, they have it all. They're creative with their run game. They have a lot of pullers at times. They're a good zone blocking team. They like to use the tight ends in there as well with some misdirection type stuff. So they'll try to knock you off the ball a little bit. They'll try to stretch you and cut you, and they do have some designer runs. You know, I think Bill Callahan does a nice job with the designer run game, so we'll have to be on our toes there in a short week.
Okay, Coach, now you're starting a short week, and I would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge the effort that went into getting that second victory. How do you get that third one? Is it a lot easier now that the guys have kind of got that monkey off their back to now focus on the next win?
You know, it's never easy in this league, especially coming off of a big win at home. You got to travel on a short week, so we need to make sure we're on top of our mental preparation. So that's the big key. So it has to happen between the ears. Guys have to be dialed in. They have to be focused in the meetings. That's the biggest part of it in the short week.
Coach, final question for me. Obviously, it's a Thursday game, and we know the challenges of playing on Thursday. But it seems like no one ever complains when the Thursday is Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a national holiday. We all have fond memories growing up playing ball and family and turkey and everything else. What does it mean to you to be coaching on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, you know, it's a great opportunity to get out in front of a national TV audience. I don't play on a holiday. I think the players get excited to play on a Thanksgiving. They remember, like you just said, growing up watching teams play on Thanksgiving Day, and it's an honor to play on Thanksgiving night.
Maybe they could all be like Carl Banks and get a sack on Thanksgiving.
That'd be good, right?
Like he did. Yeah. Coach, we appreciate a couple minutes. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you.
That's New York Giants head coach Ben McAdoo. So a lot to dive into there. So let's go with item number four. It's strategy with Carl Banks as we go to the coach's take.
Washington Redskins pass rush is led by Ryan Kerrigan. He's not only a skilled rusher, but he's a hard worker. So when he's blocked, you have to make sure he's completely out of the play because he will outwork you even when he's blocked. He comes off here on a pass rush. You can see quarterback steps up, but Kerrigan just keeps working, causes the strip. So quarterback has to be aware to step up and protect the ball, but the tackle must make sure when he's out of the play, you have to completely remove him from the play. One of the more underrated aspects of Kirk Cousins' game is his ability to throw anticipation passes. I'm going to go to the end zone here, and you'll see under duress, he knows where he wants to go with the football, and he just throws to a location. Anticipation, or some people call it location passing. You'll see the blitz is on him. He doesn't have a lot of time to wait his receiver out, but he and the receiver are on the same page. He's under duress, ball's out, he's hit, receiver's not even out of his break yet, and there's the ball he makes the catch. Coverage is very important when you're playing a guy like Cousins because the ball may be there before the receiver is out, and you've got to stay focused on your coverage.
That was Strategy with Carl Banks, brought to you by PSE&G. We make things work for you. Let's take a look at Giants' first and 10 programming this week here on the MSG Networks. Two airings on Wednesday and then two more on Thanksgiving, getting you set for the Giants and the Redskins on Thanksgiving night. When we come back, we'll venture inside the Giants' locker room with Paul Dottino as we continue with Giants' first and 10, presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Networks. Welcome back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop. Thanksgiving night, it's the Giants and the Washington Redskins. Time to put item number five up on the board. We sent Paul Dottino into the Giants locker room, and he had a chance to visit with Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, talking about the game and Thanksgiving.
Well, DRC, I noticed when I went back into the record books as a rookie, you played a Thanksgiving game with the Cardinals against the Philadelphia Eagles. What do you remember about that, and what is special about a Thanksgiving game?
I can tell you, I remember that game. I know we lost it. It was cold. But I think the special thing about it, man, just fellowshipping with the guys, man. You know, that's one of the times you want to spend with your family, man. And it just this is our family away from home. So it's always to get a good win on that. And got to make sure you get some turkey on that day, too, man.
And not too much that you go overweight for the coach.
Yeah, not too much. Not too much, man. But I just saw them games that, you know, you played in front of everybody, man, and everybody going to be watching. It's going to be a fun time. So them games are always special.
Now, as a young guy growing up, I'm sure you watched a bunch of Thanksgiving games. Did you have a favorite meal or a favorite kind of superstition about Thanksgiving? What was it like for you as a kid?
Oh, definitely. I know well, everybody in my family know that. It ain't no Thanksgiving without a banana pudding. You know, when everything's all said and done, man, I got to have me some banana pudding. So if you ever have me over for Thanksgiving, man, I'm going to need that pudding.
They better make sure they have it, too.
They better make sure they have it. Yes, sir.
Hey, Kirk Cousins, that Redskins quarterback, has made some secondaries look like turkeys over the last couple of years. Really? What does he do so well that concerns you besides have a good arm?
I think he gets the ball out fast. He's quick with his decision-making. I think he can read the defense well. And if somebody's open, he's going to find it. Very rarely do you see him missing opportunities when guys come open or coverage breakdown. So we definitely got to be glued in and be real disciplined this week.
Now, when we looked at the game last week against Kansas City, we saw guys flying around for 60-plus minutes. If you could bottle one thing from that game and use it in this week's game and the rest of the way, what would it be?
I would take everybody's desire to want to, their heart, their passion. I think just the willing to want to go out there, you know, just like you said, for 60 minutes. Don't look up at the scoreboard. Keep your head down and just keep playing until that last whistle blow.
What is it that made it different? Was it the film session that Coach McAdoo gave you guys? Was it Eli's inspirational speech?
That was definitely inspirational. You know, I don't think I've been around a long time. I don't think I ever heard him talk like that. And, you know, I think that definitely helped boost us where we're at. But I think it started with the film session, and then that put it over the top.
everybody seems to be in the spirit and fired up to play this game. It doesn't feel like a normal Thursday night complaint because it's Thanksgiving.
Yeah, there's no question about it, Bob. Everybody knows that everybody around the country, maybe the world, is watching you on Thanksgiving. So there's a lot of enthusiasm, especially coming off a win. But, Carl, the Giants are playing this Redskins team that, you know, you look at Kirk Cousins. He's got about six guys who have caught between 20 and 40 passes. He spreads the ball around a lot. Even though Chris Thompson's out of the lineup, doesn't that make him dangerous?
Oh, he's definitely dangerous because he's dangerous throwing the ball under duress. He's a guy who can make anticipation throws. He can throw guys open. He knows where the spots are in your defense. So if he's under duress and that ball's in the air, if you're a wide receiver coming out of your break, you better be looking for the ball as a defender because it's going to be there by the time the receiver turns around. Yeah. Really good at that.
I think he does a good job of, like Carl says, throwing guys out of the break. But the thing that he has a problem with, it seems like, is that sometimes when it's very late in games and you really need him to make a play, this year he just hasn't been coming through. And I think if you can get to him early and put him in bad situations late, he may have a shot.
That might be why he's throwing the ball to 45 different, you know, so different times to different folks.
Hey, Howard, you're on the field all the time on the sideline, and you and I both noticed the intensity that the Giants, especially on defense, put forth against the Chiefs. They forced three takeaways. Mm-hmm. Now, the Redskins have lost a NFL-high 10 fumbles this year. Is takeaway something that they are absolutely going to have to force again with that intensity?
I think it would be great if they could force it, but takeaways are kind of something that almost accidentally happens. You know, the ball has to be thrown in the right spot. A fumble has to bounce the right way. You don't just make them happen. I know a lot of teams say they do, but it really takes a lot. And, Carl, you know, it's hard to punch a ball out, and then if you punch it out, you got to get on it. It'd be great if the Giants could do it, but it's, again, almost an accidental moment.
But here's a beautiful thing about this game at night. This team, which has been beat up in the public eye, has a chance to really show America that they're not as bad as folks think they are.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how they respond after the win last week. Paul, happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
You too, fellas.
That's Paul Dottino joining us inside the Giants locker room. Now, still to come on the program, we sent Madeline Burke inside the Giants locker room to find out how well some of the players know Washington and some of the history of Washington. You don't want to miss that. This portion of the program is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, NFL Ticket Exchange, the only official ticket exchange of the National Football League. Welcome back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop. It's the Giants and Redskins on Thanksgiving night. Still to come on the program, we'll look back at fourth and goal, one of the great moments from the 2007 Giants Super Bowl winning season. We'll be joined in studio by Giants starting center Brett Jones. Extra point, Paul Schwartz of the New York Post goes one-on-one with Howard Cross, and we'll talk about giving thanks Giants style. But with the Giants going down to Washington to take on the Redskins, it's time to put item number 6 up on the board. And we welcome in Madeline Burke. And she got a chance to visit with the Giants in the locker room. But you also have some questions for us as well.
Yeah, definitely. Well, the Giants and the Redskins have played each other more than the Giants have played any other team in the NFL. So obviously a lot of history there with that rivalry, with that matchup. But guys, what do you remember most about playing against the Redskins?
For me, it was the first game of my first year. And I saw the intensity from the preseason to the regular season. And we were playing down in RFK. And it was very intense. And that's the thing that I remember. Guys, my teammates wanted to beat the Redskins. Redskins wanted to beat the Giants. But it was like a friendly rivalry. It wasn't like a Cowboy-Giant rivalry. You know, when the game was over, you walked off the field, you shook hands and everything. But it really was like a friendly rivalry, but they really wanted to beat one another.
Carl, do you have a similar experience?
My experience with the Washington Redskins, it shapes you as a young player in this league when the captain of your team tells you, get your shoes on, get your shorts and your T-shirt, and come with me. Harry Carson walked into pregame warmups with myself, Pepper Johnson, and it may have been one other linebacker. and he walks through the entire stretching routine of the Washington Redskins, stands over their running back and says, homeboy, you're going to fumble twice today. Turns around and walks off. All you needed was tumbleweed and that little whistle.
Just rolling across.
And every game he did it that we played him.
You got to lay it out there early, right?
You're going to fumble twice today. Let's go.
Well, that's what I mean by it was a friendly rivalry. I mean,
we had a friendly letting him know that he's going to
fumble. He walks in another team's stretching routine and stands over the guy while he's stretching. I'm not sure that was friendly.
You know, if it was some
other team. It scared the daylights out of him, too.
If it was some other team, you know, they probably would want to fight. But when you're talking about the Redskins and the Giants, you know, we had peace with one another until the whistle blew and
well,
the ball was kicked off.
I don't think they could have walked over in our stretching.
No, I don't think so.
That would have been a little dicey.
Oh, but wait, here's the thing. He fumbled twice that game, too.
So, I mean, really, you called it. You know that homeboy fumbled twice that day.
Yeah.
All right, so Madeline not only had a chance to ask the guys some questions, but she went into the Giants locker room to ask a little bit about the Redskins in D.C.
The Giants are headed to Washington, so in this edition of On the Road presented by United, we're going to see how well this team knows Washington, D.C. You ready for this, Evan?
Let's do it.
All right, first question. Washington, D.C. is located between which two states?
Virginia and Delaware and Maryland.
Look at that. Was that a guess?
That was totally a guess.
That was an excellent guess.
I was about to say Vermont at first. That's why I was like, I was tripping.
Yeah.
I couldn't say that.
Way off. Who was the first president to live in the White House?
George Washington. It's not the first president ever. Abraham Lincoln.
Y'all gonna make me look bad on this one. John Adams. John Adams.
Look at this. History lesson coming strong.
Yeah, I like it.
Washington, D.C. was named after two historic figures.
Right.
Who were they?
Yeah, George Washington.
Uh-huh.
And
1492, sailed the ocean blue.
Christopher Columbus.
Look at this. You're crushing this so far.
All right.
Geno Smith knows his D.C. right now.
Yeah.
All right. Which D.C. monument is on the back of a penny?
D.C. monument? It's
Abraham Lincoln.
Uh-huh.
Where does he sit? What is it called?
The Lincoln Memorial.
Got it.
The memorial. Wherever Lincoln sits, the memorial. That's
where Lincoln sits. We'll take it. Washington has six major sports teams. The Redskins are one. Can you name another one?
Yeah, the Wizards, formerly known as the Bullets.
What's that? The Capitals.
Yeah.
It's hockey.
Nationals.
Bonus points right here.
I don't know the soccer team.
Soccer is the United.
United.
And then extra bonus points for the WNBA team.
Ooh, the Mystics.
Coming in with the clutch. So you finished strong. You finished strong. We got to appreciate that.
Yeah,
Andrew Adams.
My history's a little shaky.
Hey, you could pick up some history in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I will.
Thank you.
Good stuff, Madeline, inside the Giants locker room. Some of those questions were kind of tough anyway.
They are pretty tough. You know,
I think I
would have
flunked that one.
History test.
Yeah.
And the funny part is the Giants stay in Virginia, and the Redskins stadium is actually in Landover, Maryland.
Yeah.
So they're not even in D.C. But Madeline, have a good Thanksgiving, and thank you so much.
Thank you. You as well.
Madeline Burke joining us. Well, it is time to put item number 7 up on the board as we continue our celebration of the 10-year anniversary of the Super Bowl 42 champion New York Football Giants. One of the great moments from that season is a game against the Redskins on the road. 4th and goal. In week 3 of the Giants' historic 2007 season, Big Blue traveled to Washington, desperately in need of a win against their division rivals.
I know it's only 3 weeks into the season, but our backs are against the wall.
And this is a divisional foe, and you can't take another step back. We knew going in we had to win. The Redskins stormed out of the gate in the first half behind a Clinton Portis touchdown. And quarterback Jason Campbell would add to the lead in the second quarter with this 8-yard pass to Chris Cooley.
That fires one left to Cooley, touchdown! In the end zone, unguarded!
Trailing by 14 points in the second half, the Giants would mount a comeback. Running back Reuben Drone's second touchdown of the game tied things up in the fourth quarter. Eli Manning would then connect with Plaxico Burress for the go-ahead score.
Throws it left, he's got Burress, makes his man miss, cuts right to the 20, to the 15. To the 10, to the 5, touchdown Plaxico Burress!
Clinging to the lead late in the game, with the Redskins threatening to score, the Giants' defense would be put to the ultimate test, a goal line stand.
Fourth and goal at the 1. Redskins need a touchdown to tie.
Do your assignment. Everybody lock in. I remember just everybody just saying, just do your job, right? That's a TC type quote, right? Do your job. And that play came down to that simple.
Takes the snap. Handoff left for Fast, and he's tripped up and stopped short. Giants stopped him on fourth and goal.
And then it goes from quiet to noise.
And the defense for the Giants holds.
And they're going to win the ball game.
The Giants may have saved their season with a stirring victory against their NFC East rivals, the Washington Redskins.
That play, I think, just set the tone for what the rest of the season is going to be like.
One of the great moments from 2007, and that is the focus of this week's edition of Giants Chronicles. Great moments from 2007, like that fourth and goal. Make sure you check it out Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on MSG. We're going to take a timeout when we come back on the program. Giants starting center Brett Jones joins us as we continue with Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Networks. For Darkwood, he runs up the middle. Darkwood is a 10. He's to the 15 and tackled at the 16-yard line. Brett Jones, I mean, you see him just move that nose guard out of that car?
Yeah, he's very fundamentally sound.
And we welcome you back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop. Item number 8 goes on the board. It's our player spotlight. And the aforementioned Brett Jones joins us here on the program. And let's talk a little bit about your play and how comfortable you feel going in there ever since Weston got hurt.
Definitely. It's a big thing to get this opportunity to get in there and play and get some meaningful snaps. And it was great to get the win last week. I think we're coming together as a group, and it's been a lot of fun.
As a group, to not be one-dimensional, to be able to have balance, how good is that for an offensive lineman to say, boy, we don't have to be in our pass pro all day. We're moving the football.
Definitely. That's been big for us. I think that we've been able to do a lot of things off the run, and we want to keep building on that each and every week. It keeps the defensive line so they can't just tee off on us, and we can go out there and try to impose our will on them.
You know, I was watching you in those clips right there. You are so fundamentally sound. How would a young player that's trying to play offensive line, how do they get to that point?
I think that it comes with just getting reps. I mean, that's the biggest thing at the end of the day. You got to be able to go out there and work on those skills and just keep developing them. I mean, it takes so many reps, and it just takes time.
Where'd the passion for football come from growing up in Canada?
I think that, you know, it started with the CFL. That's a big thing for us. I grew up an hour away from where the team was in Saskatchewan, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and the excitement was there. I mean, growing up, I played in grade 4. It wasn't sort of the same as big as it was in the U.S., but it definitely was a lot of fun, and yeah, I really enjoyed my time.
Hey, you know what it's like to be part of a championship team? I mean, in 2013, you were the starting center on the Grey Cup champion Stampede, Calgary Stampede. What lessons did you learn from that you've tried to apply to your NFL career?
Oh, definitely. That was a big growing experience for me to be able to take that role. And we were a good offensive line that year. We were able to run the ball really well and pass protect too. It was just a lot of fun, and playing in that big game, it meant a lot. I mean, we had worked so hard for it, and to come out with the win, it was a big thing and one of the highlights of my career so far.
Brett, when you guys are running the ball well, and obviously the last 6 games, you're at 100 yards or more, you guys seem so in sync.
Definitely. I think that we understand where the concept of the run needs to be, especially with that extra defender in the box. I mean, we can't be bouncing the ball out when we're running power and doing those things. We want to be able to run down the middle in the A-gap, and I think we've been able to do that these last few weeks and stay away from that extra defender.
And how do you guys do it week in and week out when it seems to be a different guy every week in the lineup? Like, the same five guys haven't gone from the, you know, first game to this game.
I think that definitely it's just an attribute of who we are as a group. I think that we understand that if a guy gets injured or whatnot, that the next guy is going to step in and do his job and do his job well. I think that everybody's excited when the next guy gets his opportunity, and we just want to keep building and do what's best for the team and keep winning. That's what we want to keep doing.
Yeah, but isn't there a lot of communication and stuff? Like, how do you guys keep it all together?
Definitely. It starts with communication up front for us especially. I mean, it starts with me. I got to make sure that we're all on the same page, and then with Eli, too. He's great in making sure we know what we're doing. And definitely it starts with communication in the week and the meetings on the practice field and then when we're out on the field.
Tell me a little bit about what you've seen on tape from Washington and their front.
Definitely, it's going to be a challenge for us up front. They got some good ends on first and second down. They play some different things, and then on third down, they're able to bring some pressure out of different fronts. So definitely want to be able to stay out of those third and long situations like we always do each and every week, and we want to be able to run the ball on them, and I think we'll be able to.
Brett, we appreciate a couple minutes. Enjoy the game on Thanksgiving night. We thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you very much. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks. Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you as well. Brett Jones breaking it down for you as we get you set for the Giants and Redskins. When we come back, Howard Cross goes one-on-one with Paul Schwartz of the New York Post with Extra Point as we continue with Giants First and 10 presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Networks. Time for Stats Plus, brought to you by Cash for Life from the New York Lottery. You can win $1,000 a day for life. 313, according to Pro Football Focus, since week two, left tackle Eric Flowers has not allowed a sack on 313 pass-blocking snaps. 607, the Giants are 7-4-3 on Thanksgiving. Now, they played 11 times between 1926 and 1938. In the modern era, in 1982, they won in Detroit. In 1992, they lost in Dallas, and in 2009, they lost in Denver. 3.72. The Giants are averaging 3.72 yards per play in the red zone. That's the best rate in the NFL. On defense, they're allowing 2.36 yards per play, which is fifth best. And last, 123.2. Eli Manning leads the NFL in red zone quarterback rating. He's got 11 touchdowns and no interceptions. We welcome you back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Networks. All right, time to put item number 9 up on the board. We call this Extra Point, and we welcome in Paul Schwartz of the New York Post. Happy Thanksgiving, Paul.
Thank you, Bob.
All right, so Ben McAdoo has this big film session, and it obviously paid dividends. He hit the right notes with his football team.
Look, you got to give the guy credit, Howard, right? You know, I talked to Landon Collins. Landon Collins said he put three of my plays up there. And I said, I didn't like that. I didn't like seeing it. I didn't appreciate it. He goes out and has maybe his best game. The only person who had more in that film session, that brutally honest film session, Janoris Jenkins, four plays. He comes up with a pick, almost a game-winning pick. Mm-hmm. He plays well. So, mission accomplished.
I think it's mission accomplished, but you got to remember that we've done things like that for years with our teams. Parcells did it. I think Dan Reeves did it. When your season's going crazy and things aren't working for you, you put up a film and you let your teammates see what's happening because you're playing for each other as much as you're playing for anything else, and that's why you see guys really showing up.
All right, so there have been numerous players that have played right tackle for the Giants this year. Obviously, Justin Pugh has been banged up. Bobby Hart's been in and out of the lineup. So an undrafted free agent, Chad Wheeler out of USC, gets the start last week and held up pretty well.
The sound of silence, right, Howard? You didn't hear his name called for penalties, and you didn't hear his name called for, oh, look at that turnstile. He just got beat by Justin Houston. Mm-hmm. The less said about him, the better. I thought he was okay. Look, now they were smart. They put a tight end on him almost every play, mm-hmm. not letting him go alone. But look, one game, it was good.
Well, I thought he was going to be a good player the whole time. Yeah. I was waiting for him to get an opportunity to play. Didn't realize it was going to take this long. And didn't realize that the offensive line would be in such flux the entire season with all these injuries that he would have to get in the game and play. But when he got in, like you said, silence is something special when you're talking about offensive linemen.
And he was a starter. He started 45 games at USC at a big-time program. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you one thing, he looks like a right tackle.
Yes.
So this Giants defense, which was much ballyhooed coming into the season, has not had a good year. But they showed the form of last year on Sunday. Where's it been?
Well, you know what? If you can get 25-mile-an-hour winds, it helps. It helps. You know, there's no question it helped against a quarterback like Alex Smith, who's not a, you know, a real lethal thrower, especially with his arm strength. But the defense was there, and you know what? This is inspired. This is smart. This is the way they have to play. That's what. That's the big mystery of this year. Where was this?
I think what happened was that I think they came into the season thinking that they were a top-ranked defense. I think they came into the season thinking they were they're going to be great. And all of a sudden, this late in the season, they see a film of themselves and they realize, like, holy smokes, we're playing bad. And they picked it up.
Yeah, they certainly did. So the big question is, we always hear guys complain about Thursday night games. But they never seem to complain when it's Thanksgiving. It has a little different panache to it. It's still Thursday, the last time I checked. The Giants are coming off a home overtime win against Kansas City. The Redskins are coming off an overtime loss, a heartbreaker, in New Orleans. Even though Washington is home on Thanksgiving night, does that still give them the edge?
I think any team at home ever on Thanksgiving has the edge. Now, this is not a long trip. This is a really short trip, which is good. But the Giants did play an overtime game. And I think, Howard, the Giants expended a tremendous amount of emotional energy in this game. This, you know, Eli Manning gave a fiery speech before it. I mean, you know this was a game they thought they had to win for their home fans. So it'll be interesting to see on a short week if they have that emotional anything in reserve.
You know? I think they're going to have it in reserve. I think they're going to kind of build off of it. The problem is it's a short week and your body just doesn't heal up. It's a little harder. Even though it's Thanksgiving, you know, we got guys banged up all over the field and you just can't get them back on the field in time. That's what's going to be the big issue.
Well, Washington lost one of their best weapons last week, Chris Thompson. And they, speaking of emotion, they blew a 15-point lead with 6 minutes to go in losing to the Saints.
It's the classic thing. Look, it's, you know, you say you want to build off momentum. This is really quick. It's only a few days later. Mm-hmm. So the Giants have it. The Redskins don't. Maybe that helps the Giants.
Paul, we appreciate it as always here on Extra Point. When we come back here on the program, we'll talk about the Giants giving thanks as we continue with Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New York Giants.
Not called Banks running over.
I know, he did. A little bit.
It's okay, I'm entitled.
Well, it's Thanksgiving, right? Everybody gets seconds.
Yeah. It's a big thing to get this opportunity to get in there and play and get some meaningful snaps. And it was great to get the win last week. I think we're coming together as a group, and it's been a lot of fun.
Stands over there running back and says, homeboy, you're going to fumble twice today. All you needed was tumbleweed and that little whistle. Yeah.
That was the Geico Show recap. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. As we welcome you back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Time to put item number 10 up on the board, and it's the New York Giants giving thanks.
Today we were able to come here to the food banks in New Jersey. We were able to unload some turkeys.
We do a number of efforts with the Giants, okay? We have this donation effort here. There's a food drive that happens at the stadium on the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and it all helps to satisfy the need.
Well, this is something that's really important for us. We understand that there's a greater need outside of just the football that we do every day. This is a way for us to do it during the holidays especially.
It's also important to note that all year round it's a big need. It's 365 days and they're donating this food to the communities, and it's important to help at all times.
As somebody who was homeless, who was hungry, who was on a pantry line, I could tell you that holidays would come and go. And when someone like the Giants recognize that there are people who are hungry and they're doing something about it, we together can do so much.
Meanwhile, another group of Giants players headed to Harlem to help unload turkeys and serve dinner at the community food bank.
I carved a turkey or two in my day. It's always great to give back. I think that's something that needs to be done, necessity, when you give it very much. Especially, I'm from New York, so it's always a blessing to come out here to the people. And just meeting the people, that's probably one of the funnest things, just talking to them, interacting with them.
I just wanted to say hello.
How you doing, ma'am?
Come in here.
Oh, man, great to see you.
All right.
All right, thank you.
No problem.
Thank you. All right, thank you. Have a happy holiday.
You too, man. You too. It's very important, you know. These holidays are, you know, just founded around family, and a lot of people are fortunate enough to have that. And when you're able to connect with someone and just put a smile on their face and make them feel warm, make them feel welcome, you know, and invited into an environment, that's the blessing that you can give to people.
The community food banks of New York and New Jersey do a wonderful job. If you ever have an opportunity to donate some food or go and lend a helping hand, you can see the wonderful work that they do. And the Giants want to thank all the fans that came to the game against the Kansas City Chiefs and brought non-perishable food items and cans to the stadium as part of the food drive. Thanksgiving, obviously a very special time. And all three of the guys on the set here had an opportunity to play a game on Thanksgiving. And the Giants in the modern era only have one win on Thanksgiving. That came in 1982, Harry, in Detroit. Lawrence Taylor, the big difference in that ball game with his 97-yard pick six in a 13-6 game.
Well, that's probably the only play that I remember from that game, you know, because it, you know, you see it over and over and over and over. And I had a pick.
You did have an interception in that game.
I had a pick in that game, but I really don't remember it too much. I didn't return it for a touchdown. So. But, you know, anytime you play on Thanksgiving, it really is a bonding experience for you and your teammates because you're all together and you're forced to, you know, have those meals together and, you know, go play the game. Everybody's watching you. Everybody's sort of pushing away from the table and everybody's, all of those eyes are on you. So it's not just Dallas and whoever they're playing, but the Giants are playing on Thanksgiving night.
Yeah, and you beat the Lions in Detroit. Now, you two guys had to go into the Lions' den in 1992 against a loaded Cowboys team. Phil Simms and Jeff Hostetler both were hurt, so they couldn't start. So it was Kent Graham starting in the ball game. But, CB, you wound up getting a sack of Troy Aikman.
Yeah, end up getting a sack there. And then, but you know, you remember those games, but like Harry says, it's holiday, it's family time. You're amongst your guys, and that's what the bonding does really happen.
How cool was it for you, though, as a kid growing up in Michigan with the Lions always having a Thanksgiving Day game to actually play on Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was pretty special. It really was.
Howard, in that same game, it was lopsided, but you had a catch in the ball game.
That's pretty good. I'm like, wow, really? That's pretty good.
What did it mean to you to play on Thanksgiving?
I thought it was kind of cool, you know, to be around the guys for that day. I remember things like, you know, Lawrence used to host dinner at his house for all the guys that didn't have a chance or families to go to. He goes, guys, we're going to have dinner at my house. I'm like, yeah, right. Then you go, and like half the team's there, and families are there. And to finally get to play in a game, the games that we were watching, it was kind of cool because I knew what it was like at the homes.
And it'll be a lot of fun for the Giants as they get an opportunity to wrap up the day with the two games earlier in the day and then the night game, the Giants and the Redskins, great rivalry, so it should be a lot of fun. For Harry Carson, Carl Banks, Howard Cross, Paul Dottino, Madeline Burke, and our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Thank you for joining us for this edition of Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New York Giants.